We hear overnight that China has fired as many as 5 ballistic missiles into the South China Sea surrounding Taiwan after the visit, of course, of Nancy Pelosi, the US Speaker. I thought it would be really important to talk to New South Wales Liberal Senator, retired Major General Jim Molan, because he's just released a new book, which is titled Danger on Our Doorstep. Now, I note that Peter Harcher, who's been around forever, Sydney Morning Herald, actually reviewed Jim's book in the Sydney Morning Herald this week, and he started his piece by going through what Jim lays out as a potential scenario. Now, it says the first sign that it started, that's war, is when the world's internet fails and showers of shooting stars fill the sky. Vital undersea cables have been cut by specialist submarines and ships. Intensive cyber attacks are underway. The shooting stars are the satellites that we rely on falling to Earth. And with the surveillance satellites destroyed, they can't detect the launch of China's missiles. And the first wave slams into the US Air Force and Navy bases across the Western Pacific. Boy, if that doesn't get your attention, I don't know what will. Senator Molan's on the line. Beautifully written, Jim. I hope it never comes true.
Steve, you're quite right. We all hope it never comes true. And that's, of course, why I wrote that the first part in the hardest possible way. The reality should be terrifying. But I kind of bookended the book, and I've been dying to use that. All my life I've wanted to say I bookended the book. But I did that for the simple reason that this is the subject of strategic discussions, strategic conversations, is all acronyms and boring technicalities. And most people don't read it. But if you surround it by a block of the real reality of what might happen to us, it is very, very frightening. And that's what I was trying to achieve.
And we've become so reliant, have we not, on the internet, on satellites, on them providing us with connection with each other and countries with each other and information. Until those things are taken away, as they can be, as you've described there, with a cyber attack or satellites being shot out of the sky, we won't realise how reliant we are until that all goes. A little like Europe didn't realise how reliant they were on Russian gas until the Russians turned the pipeline off.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And most people don't realise that the mass of data, either the top secret, highly important data relevant to this very second, that belongs to governments and belongs to defence organisations, 90% of it goes by the kind of cables that are used to transfer things that are of much less importance. But it's all on in cipher and in code, and it's all jazzed up within that and passed through those same bearers. And so they are a real target. And as I say in the book, specialist submarines that are designed for nothing else, both sides have them, but to go for those undersea cables that carry 90% of everything we do, they're there, they're waiting for a task, and they'll do the task as soon as they get it.
I look forward to reading the book in full. I just wonder, reading that beginning and how the Chinese would begin this and this conflict, would it be less of a loss of lives, as in non-military people, in a conflict like this? So I guess what I'm trying to awkwardly say is the Chinese would make normal life intolerable as opposed to coming, landing on the northern coast of Australia and killing people.
Yes, quite true, except for the fact that do you want to live on your knees? And or do you want to stand up for the values and the things that Australia believes in? And this is why I wrote not just the prologue, which covers the first 24 hours, which is all great stuff. We all get Star Wars type stuff. We all get excited about that. But the epilogue at the end of the book looks at what happened in the next few months. And in the next few months after that first strike on the undersea cables and the satellites and the American air bases, after that first strike, the next couple of months, China will then turn to each and every country. China would then turn to each and every country in the Western Pacific and say, well, the Americans are out of the Western Pacific. They have no military forces here. They can't bring any forces back into the Western Pacific quickly. So are you still going to fight us, Japan? What do you reckon Japan would say? Are you still going to fight us, South Korea? Guam, of course, is an American dependency. Most spectacularly, because this would be the basis we get into this war, it would say to Taiwan, well, Taiwan, in the absence of American military power, why don't you just become part of the People's Republic of China? Because the alternative will be that every single factory that you have that makes computer chips, every single factory will be destroyed. How do you feel now? Or would you like to come in to the People's Republic? And of course they're going to roll over, Steve. They will definitely roll over on that, I believe. And then it comes to Australia's turn. And then you know, it might take a little bit longer for Australia, but they would say to Australia, well, Australia, look what's happened. Look at Japan, look at South Korea, look at Taiwan, look at ASEAN, the ASEAN countries, and look at the Americans. The only way the Americans can really fight back then is to come in through Australia. So the conditions that would be laid down for China not to attack Australia with destructive power, with military power, would be something that approaches the 14 conditions that came out, that China handed to Australia some years ago now, about Huawei and other things like that. And in the absence of American power, what choice have we got? We either stand up and fight in the way you said before, landing in the north of the country and fighting your way through. We either stand up and fight and people die, or else we become a tributary state. And that's the line on which I end the book. You know, what does a tributary state do? And that's the line, that's the choice that Australia has, that every Australian has got to look at and say to themselves, well, is this the choice? And if they want to verify, if they think I've gone too far, then go into chapters 1 to 11 and check up on the technical detail.
Jim's book is Danger on Our Doorstep. The closest we become to becoming a state of another country was Japan. They got pretty close, didn't they?
Oh, they certainly did. And this is a variation on the attack on Pearl Harbor. I mean, the Americans moved their fleet from the western coast of the United States to Hawaii and put them into Pearl Harbor, a magnificent harbor, because they wanted to intimidate Japan. Well, and this is in 1941, they wanted to intimidate Japan because Japan was getting a bit aggressive and certainly very aggressive in China. And the way that China faced that problem was they did a sneak attack, a secret attack. And China was almost extraordinarily successful. If China did the same thing, Steve, they would not make the mistakes that Japan made.
Can't wait to read the book. Just a couple of current day issues before I let you go. The Pelosi visit, the Chinese reaction. What do you make of that?
Oh, I think what frightens me, what frightens me is that you can only really explain this in terms of American administration incompetence. That they would, you know, we're on a knife edge at the moment, and they would permit the speaker to go to do a visit, you know, a possible visit which raised attention, and then to carry out a visit to Taiwan in the midst of such tension. So, you know, was there a deeper reason? Is this the deep state doing things? No, what frightens me, it might just be American incompetence.
Just finally, the review of our defence. When I first read that was going to happen, Stephen Smith, former defence minister, will do it along with Angus Houston. I just thought to myself, aren't we constantly reviewing our ADF? And if we're not, why not?
Yes, a very good question. But you cannot carry out a review of a defence force until you have decided on what is the nature of the war. I mean, if the main thing that a defence force has got to carry out is a counterinsurgency war, if that's what they're opposing, then that's different than if you're talking to a Ukraine v. versus Russia war. Totally different. So, and the great error that they have made, Steve, the great error that they've made is that they have, they're conducting a defence review. And this shouldn't be a defence review. This should be a national security review. Because what good is it to have a defence force that may work? And I hope they're successful, but just for the defence force's sake. What good is it to have a defence force that might work, yet have the country breaking down because it's got no IT, it's got no fuel, it's got no energy, it's got no a range of things that a nation must have in order to function. So I think they've made a number of gross errors to begin with, and I don't think it's a very good start. It's a bit like the fox guarding the hen house, because Stephen Smith is remembered in defence and around defence as the man who cut and cut and cut to extraordinarily low levels, and we are still suffering from them today.
Seems like a very strange choice. Always a pleasure to catch up with you, retired Major General and New South Wales Liberal Senator Jim Molan. Thanks for your help today.
Thanks, mate. Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this Australia Today podcast. Have your say on the issues that matter. Email australiatoday@sca.com.au. Listener.